August 24, 2022. It's the What for Pedro show.
About the Vietnamese War? Well, I dislike war, period. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So therefore, as far as I'm concerned, it should stop. It should have been stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And any other war. Now, as far as to say, to understand the issues behind it, I don't understand them well enough to be able to tell you just how this could be brought about.
Uh-huh.
But I only know that it should stop.
Uh-huh.
Well, if so, I don't think a consensus has been made on it. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't know if any has been made.
Uh-huh.
You see.
For Pedro Show. Hey, Brother Matt.
Yeah. Welcome back.
They put in the new telephone poles here.
New poles. I got a new bobblehead.
Throbblehead, actually. Your Dodger guys are bobbleheads. Pedro Punk Rockers, they're throbbleheads.
And I've been digging on my Watt sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that stuff's
killing. An Ojado.
Yeah.
With the angry one. That was a nickname for his father, because his father, I guess, had after work a little baseball team. And took it serious. I was in the face. So after a while, he got the little reputation. Now, Ojado, you know, like, ah! He's going to argue every call, right? So,
Perfect.
He named his little salsa Kevin Chanel up in Oaktown. He's actually originally Nashville City, so went to the middle of the
big
state.
Big chunk from of the state. South,
yeah, big chunk. NorCal, that's in the middle, I'm sorry. And, yeah, he was asking me for some ingredients, you know. And I was thinking of, you know, I know habaneros are too thin-skinned to roast, but they're good for the heat. And everybody does chipotle, and I love chipotle. Mm. I like, but you know, kind of already there. So what about roasted serranos? So I suggested that. And then because I've been cooking on my own 40 years now, but I'm finally figuring out there's some chemistry to it, like acids and base, and you balance things. So get some tang, some bite, lime, ginger, so for some complexity. And,
couple
coarse
layers,
garlic.
Couple layers of heat. It's cool. Got the killer.
Yeah,
nice
but I would say more flavor than heat.
Yeah, yeah, not really hot.
Yeah, it's not a frat boy joke bottle. Yeah. You know, burn your ass, but whatever.
Right.
And they do that shit with chemicals. It's just, lay, it's just, you know, look how fucked up I am. I turp myself with it. No, this is supposed to actually go with chow to help improve the taste.
Yeah, that's tasty.
And it's from my experience and stuff. And, of course, the F.A. there. I don't know how to, Kevin, coming in there, you know, with his own hands, he cooks the shit up.
Bitchin'.
You know, it ain't no, like, he's got little batches, right, in pitchers, right?
Killer.
And, it's sort of like the way we make the music, right?
Putting the ingredients together.
Yeah, that's right. And so, look, I got two, I don't know what you call this, pieces of, merch.
That
ain't music, right?
It's neat.
But without music, you wouldn't know of me about salsa or me about throbble heads.
Yeah, so expanded.
Maybe I had to do the bass first, the bajo, and then I bring in this other stuff. So anyway, we start off the show with John Coltrane talking in Tokyo, 1966, about Vietnam War. And then, you know what? I forgot how to pronounce your name. So we got on the horn through the magic of those Estonian Skype software engineers. It's Bobby Thatcher. Welcome aboard, brother Bobby.
Hey, how are you? This is Bobby from Oneida.
Yeah, Oneida, okay.
Oneida.
Oneida, or Oneida, or Oneida.
Yeah.
Or one.
Well, you know, you can scramble it to spell no idea, as has been pointed out to us over and over.
That's how I remember the spelling.
Yeah.
What's it called? Rimaji, Katakana, Japan, they would say Oneida, because the EI has an A sound. Yeah, long A.
Yeah,
sound.
Or in the UK, Oneida. They tend to say Oneida.
I can imagine. They say pasta, though. Right. Fill it and pull it. It's not really intelligent shit. You know, the king spoke French for like 300 or 400 years. Mm. I think until Shakespeare and Elizabeth, they finally said, maybe we should start speaking English. Okay, maybe it was those fucking plays. But, Bob, you're the only one of the band here to represent, but before that, I want to get into your personal, since you were responsible for the start off, the beginning embers of a lot of the compositions of the latest Oneida. What's your earliest musical recollection before you even met any of these guys, or even you know?
Man, my earliest musical recollection would probably be listening to my dad's records at home, sitting in the living room, and he had some, you know, he's born in 45, so he had some like Santana and Dylan and stuff, but I would say that the first record I remember putting on over and over again was the soundtrack to Guys and Dolls.
So it's your pop's records, and not only records, but record of musical. And Dolls, I heard there was some heavy drama in the movie version.
Really? I've seen
Frank Sinatra
the movie,
did not want Marlon Brando singing. And they didn't dump in the voice, too. They coached his ass and got him to sing.
But he
actually had him kidnapped and beat up shit. Yeah, there's some weird shit, Frank.
That's cool. That stuff I don't know. I definitely didn't know that as like a 6-year-old sitting on the beige carpet.
The only reason I know this is for maybe 5-6 years now, no cable. What I do now is I write the Apple TV box will feed a LCD screen, getting Wi-Fi, so I watch YouTube.com docs.
Oh, cool.
So I learned it's my what a youngster would call World Book Encyclopedia. You know, my mom got those when I was a boy. Because for a couple of years I lived in Schenectady in your state there, New York. And you're talking to me from Brooklyn?
I'm actually talking to you from down east Maine right now.
Wow, still northeast, but you're still I-95, yeah. But way up there.
Oh, yeah, I'm up here in the northeast pretty much all the time, yeah. Okay. But, you know, I was born in Southern California. That's where my family's from.
So these stories of your pop with the guys in Doll, this was SoCal history.
You know, I don't know. No, because we moved around a little bit. That would be either Wisconsin or Connecticut. We bounced during my childhood.
You know who ended up in fucking Madison, Wisconsin? Clyde Stubblefield. Jim Brown, one of the big drummers with Jamon. He ended up doing Monday nights for like years and years. And in fact, when he got cancer, Prince helped him out so he could keep doing those. And we lost him a couple of years ago, but I think Funky Drummer is most sampled thing.
Yeah, most sampled guy.
Most sampled trip, yeah. But anyway, okay, so my geography's all fucked up. Okay. Sorry about what town in Maine? The big town, Portland?
No. I'm in a little tiny town called Surrey right now, where my wife's parents live, and I'm trying to.
Like England? Surrey?
No E. Surry. Okay. Surrey, Maine.
So you could tell the difference. Yeah, if you were lost. Okay. And, I think there's a Rome, Maine. Oh, well, there's a Rome, New York, for sure, you know.
There's all those things around.
Right, Paris, Texas. So, okay, your pop's got a record collection, but is there instruments in the pad you grew up there, Bobby?
No, we had a piano. I did some time, as many do, with the childhood piano lessons.
How was the experience? We've had guests that almost were driven away from music by the experience.
Yeah, I wasn't driven away from music because, for me, the experience was about the kind of physical sitting enveloped in sound at the piano, right? It's coming into both your ears. Your body is engaging with it. And I really, really loved playing. The reading music part was not – that didn't take it.
Well, what our experience is we find it's the teachers. It's not even the machine or music or anything. It's the, you know, beatings will continue until morale improves kind of technique that really don't go over good with 5-year-olds and shit.
Sure. I had a pretty mellow teacher. She kept telling my parents that I had, you know, that I had the talent if I would only, you know, practice and read. But she was chill. I think she pretty much took me as I am.
Yeah, bitching. That's really bitching because.
Then that lapsed, but the piano stayed. Okay. So then,
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
First record you bought with your own money?
First one I bought with my own money was I actually know this, was, record or tape now.
Whatever, you know, the medium's changed, but you know, when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money, and so that's why I asked that question.
You don't, so you buy Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen.
With the red baseball hat in the back pocket.
Yeah,
That was so funny because
doing with that flag.
I have to tell you, a lot of the gigs up in Hollywood in the late 70s, there was a code to Santa Monica Boulevard about what went in which pocket, what color it was. If you were that persuasion. So we were like, is Bruce like, you know, what's up here?
the
yellow
pocket.
Rag in the front port pocket, which could mean a lot different than, you know, red baseball hat, the starboard aft. I mean, if you're looking for action. Okay, and what was the first gig you went and saw?
Howard Jones at Madison Square Garden.
Whoa, okay.
Tiny gig.
Is that your idea?
No, that was my friend's older brother's idea. I think I was in fifth grade. And just the idea of going into the city and going to the big garden and seeing a show. I don't think I knew the music. But I remember the opening band was a probably terrible Swedish pop group called Frozen Ghost. I still remember that.
I don't know of them.
No, who would?
Well, we all know about ABBA. And there was, who was that one? Blue Swede, the one with the Ooga Chaka. Hooked on a feeling, right?
There's plenty of Swedes we know. You know,
later on, right? The Refused and who's the guys in the white suits? Hives. I even got to do some Stooges tunes with two of those guys. Let me ask you this. In grade school, were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No, I had a band starting in seventh grade. Me and a couple friends started our own band, and we come to school early.
Oh, yeah, okay, you're getting to what I want to get into. Not after you graduate, but in the afternoon, the garage band, the basement band, the basement bedroom band.
Well, this was the 7:30 a.m. in the, I don't know, I think it was called the Assembly Hall, whatever the place where the choir, you know.
Ah, so it was your band, but you appropriated their facilities.
Yeah, well, the music teacher was kind enough to let us be in there in the morning making a racket, so that's what we did. And, yeah, no, I wasn't in the chorus or the choir or the school bands or anything. That didn't, like I said, it didn't quite take.
No, I just asked that. One of the main reasons, Bobby, I asked that question is because a lot of schools got rid of those programs, arts and stuff. That's one reason why Flea started up his Silver Lake Conservatory of Music, because he went back to Fairfax Highway, learned trumpet, and they had no program left.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah,
that's one reason I asked that. The other thing is, all kinds of trippy paths lead us to where we are now. And I think the rest of us hear about, some of us, or maybe all of us, but one at a time because it gets confusing, talk about our journey through music, we won't be so uptight about there only maybe being one way to do it.
Yeah, and, you know, I had a lot of people help out. Or, you know, like, what's more important than helping out from older folks when I was young was just people taking it seriously.
Sure.
You know, be like, oh, great, do you want a place to play? You know, instead of like, oh, isn't that cute?
Yeah, and pitching your fucking cheek. Okay, look, I want to play some more. I've already forgot how to pronounce it, Brother Matt. Oneida? Oneida?
Yeah.
It is Oneida. Okay. Oneida.
Yeah.
Here we go with some history's great navigators.
Britt. Hopefully you can hear this.
what's happening now. Back in the island now.
Walk for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with Oneida with History's Greatest Navigators. David Pajo doing a little piece of T-Rex's prelude. He thought it was a Minuteman song. No, we covered it, David. Zach Rosen, brand new. Arctor. Robert Pollard. Of course, it's every other month, so he's got a new album. Vex Party after that from David from the Flywheel people up in, this is New England, but I think West Mass. Yeah, Northampton.
Yeah.
Cool people. Yeah. Very cool people.
Flywheel Arts, sure.
Right, Thurston turned me on these guys. Sam Locke Ward and Bob Buckle Jr. out of Iowa City. Fancy P. Okay, Bobby Kipe, Afternoon Freak, Floating Problems with First Act Pulp. And finally, Oneida with Caesar's Column. I don't want to know what that's about. You know the other words for Caesar, right? Like Kaiser and Tsar.
Sure. Yeah.
I knew you knew that. So what was this band? First, I want to know where you guys practice before classes in the morning, right?
Well, back in middle school, yeah.
And what was it, this band have a name? Did they ever do gigs, or was it just a practice band?
Yeah, this band did eventually have a name, and yeah, we played school dances, and yeah, we made a tape, all covers, okay. Ungoogleable.
That's okay.
Never been uploaded. you want to know the band's name?
Yeah,
the band
please, Greg.
Named by the bass player's older sister.
Of course.
And so he said that the band was going to be called Nonsense. And the rest of us objected.
Yeah, okay.
But, none of us came up with anything better, so there you have it.
And how long did Nonsense exist?
Oh, a couple of years. The school we were at together went through ninth grade, and then I went off to high school, which is actually where I met Kid, John, the drummer for Oneida, and we started playing together in high school. So we've been playing together for more than 30 years.
Okay, so high school is the sea change. And
how
did you know him?
Well, so it's funny. We grew up just two towns away from each other, but didn't know each other. And then we both went away to this same boarding school, like a couple hours away, for a variety of family-based reasons. And we met there.
And how did you know he was a drummer?
Oh, I mean, he was playing. We were playing, you know, however we could. He was playing with some guys at school, I think probably like 10th grade. And I was playing and trying to figure out how to write songs because, you know, I had enough of playing covers. I like covering stuff, but I was like, it was starting to be real that this was what I wanted to do.
And so, you're a keyboard man, right, at this time?
Yeah, keyboard and guitar at that time, yeah.
And how did you learn? Now, I know you had some lessons with piano, but what about the guitar? Did somebody teach you?
No, I just got a guitar. So the thing that changed for me, I started trying to figure out guitar on my own, and then when I was in high school, I started studying theory. Like, now, I never took lessons, but I studied music theory to kind of help me understand what I was listening to and trying to figure out, and that was a huge door opening for me.
But this is Man Alone, right? You're not taking classes.
That was a
theory class.
I took music theory, yeah, as a class in high school.
Because I asked you about marching band and choir, so that's more like actually practical doing things. You did do music, but you did it on a theory level and later in high school. Okay.
No, like practical application. It was me and one other kid and the teacher and having to like learn all this Bach 4-part counterpoint stuff. Yeah, and I was like, this is not my music, but man, was it like a mind-opening experience.
You know, the bass lines in that stuff are as busy as the fucking starboard hand. You know,
they're exactly as busy, which is not really my style so much. But you know, the logic of it, man, the logic of it is just, it's kind of breathtaking.
Well, that's why I said math, because in a way, he's around the same time as Isaac Newton. Johann Sebastian Bach. Yeah, so, and they don't have the piano yet. They don't have dynamics.
Right.
So it's just this buttload of notes.
Yeah, and then they changed the, like, concept of tonality, right? Like tempo.
Well, I think he actually uses Newton's math to find where the third should be because it was all up to debate. No one really knew where it was.
Yeah, and then you get into... So I find that it was cool because I was like, this is amazing and fascinating to learn and super helpful in figuring stuff out that I was hearing. But also, ultimately, like, you know, my teacher was like, oh, I can't stand hearing, you know, whatever we were listening to, because the guitars are always out of tune because you can't tune them. And I'm like, they sound better this way. Like, things sound better scraping against each other, and, you know, they're not always agreeing. Like, it's better when stuff doesn't always agree.
So, for one thing, if you're trying to build up some kind of tension and then release it, you got to have this kind of friction, or, you know what I mean? Yeah. If everything's always getting along, get ready to cook. Because shit is going to get pretty autopilot pretty quick.
Well, and it's funny because a lot of that Baroque stuff, like, they do have their version of tension and, you know, like, oh, passing tones, else, but there's so much, like, it's so rule-based. It's like, here's the one kind of tension that's acceptable here.
Oh, yeah, the same thing with the idea of the...
You don't want
to
do that.
You're right. You know, the cadenza, right? Oh, now you get your chance. Yeah, but there's only one way to do cadenzas.
Yeah. The teacher would, like, I don't know if people still give a crap about this, but it was like, oh, here are, like, parallel fifths. And I'm like, this sounds so cool. Yeah, basically like a riff using a power chord.
Right,
it was like,
that's completely
forbidden.
Right. Look, we ran out of time. End of first hour, Bobby. August 24, 2022, Dishwap Pedro Shows. Hold tight, Bar 2. August 24, 2022. It's the second hour of the Watch Pedro Show.
down in Louisiana, way down behind the sun, I saw a man approaching. He was carrying some kind of little handgun. But then I realized I was mistaken. It was just a little bitty bottle in his hand. He said, "Friend, you're looking sickly. Drink this stuff and you feel grand." Dr. Shackleton's brain juice. Dr. Shackleton's brain juice. I said, "Tell me more about it." He said, "Friend, it's for your brain. 'Cause your brain controls your body. You know when you're in pain. You take a teaspoon in the morning, and then with lunch and then at night. It's good for your synapses. It's gonna make your blood run right." Dr. Shackleton's brain juice. Dr. Shackleton's brain juice. Yeah. Made of, he said, "Herbs and leaves and roots, extract of amphibian and seeds from exotic fruits. Ah, but some ingredients are secret, so I cannot name them all. But I can tell you, friend, I can tell you this, it's 40% pure grain alcohol. Shackleton's brain juice. Dr. Shackleton's brain juice. 40%. I said, "Alright, maybe I'll try it. But tell me, how much does it cost?" He said, "It's only $5 a bottle, my friend. You don't buy it, you're lost. I just been that morning, I had $100 bill. I said, "Tell me, can you sell me 20 bottles? He said, "Yes, sir, I certainly will." Dr. Shackleton's brain juice. Dr. Shackleton's brain juice. And so I took it every morning, and then with lunch, and then at night. But I'm sorry to say it didn't help me none. My brain is still not working right. So I'm selling what I've got left, and man, they're flying off the shelf. My stock will soon be depleted. I'm gonna have to make the stuff myself. I mean, Dr. Shackleton's brain juice. Dr. Shackleton's brain juice. Yes. Step right up. Only $5 a bottle. Get your brain working full throttle. Dr. Shackleton's brain juice. Cut your problems loose. How many bottles do you need? You say you want 10? Oh, yes, indeed. I'll fix you up, my friend. You could help this just round the bend. Today's special price for you, $4.75. Dr. Shackleton's brain. Thank you.
Tags hat Sterblichkeit.
Von Mensch und Wissen, Sein und Zeit.
Erschöpfte Hybris weicht der zarten Ahnung, was die Welt zusammenhört.
Wie es sind heute die Sterne. Schon klar, der Augenblick kommt eine neue Moderne. Oder fällt die Welt in Schlaf zurück, wie es sind heute die Sterne. Zerbrechlich und klar, der Augenblick.
Walk from Pedro Show, start off the second hour on Ida, $50 tee. Sam Bennett after that with Dr. Shuckleton's Brain Juice. I heard he's retiring from gigs there in Tokyo, originally from Birmingham, Sun Ra style. Ken Baum and Kester, Fletcher Henderson, Sun Ra really got into them R&B. Im Western Was Neues. Yeah, sorry for fucking that up. Das tut mir leid. Oneida Economy Travel, People of the North, the Tunnels, like the guys in El Sonio de Manayo say, Niagara. You know, outside of Buffalo is these little waterfalls. They called them Niagara. You know, it's Niagara. I don't know where that is. Islington Inn, and then finally, Beat Me to the Punch, Oneida. So, Bobby, do you remember the first song you wrote?
Oh, good question. Yeah, I think I do. I know it was in F. and it was about, I don't remember the title, but I know kind of how it went. It involved like
a lot of
some
black
pretty...
keys, right? F sharp even more. Curtis Mayfield.
I wrote it on the guitar. No, definitely wrote it on the guitar. Yeah. It was about a white dove, I'm sure, like a peace related image, you know.
Yeah, so F on the guitar is a lot of C and G, and or unless you go for that flamenco half step.
That's why I remember it was in F, because I was like, God damn it, I have to hold the bar chord.
Okay, yeah. Well, you don't have to, just if you want that bass note. Yeah. You want that bass note.
So, you learn along the way.
Okay, so yeah, for some reason I was thinking that you tried to get up guitar after some keyboard, but you actually went back to keyboard after some guitar.
Well, I just kind of picked up guitar along the way, and then when it was trying to write songs, it's like there was more, you know, the keyboard, the piano, the organ is a great way to understand the music and get inside it, but like the stuff that I was listening to that I wanted to play was rock and punk and weirdness.
Where they get all the notes from four strings, six strings, where keyboards have one button for one note.
It's funny. I didn't even get to the bass until college, and then it was like I was in this band, and I was like, oh, this is actually.
Did you ever get on the bass guitar, Bobby?
What's that?
Did you ever get on the bass guitar?
Yeah. Starting in college.
Because when you say bass, you don't mean port hand. You're not saying left hand of the keyboard. You're talking about bass.
I'm talking three strings. I know it has the fourth string up high, but I was really a three-string man.
That's all right. I see stand-ups from the old days that had only three strings.
Yeah, like, you know, I just, the bass guitar makes a ton of sense to me for the way I like music to sound, right? It's like driving, it's repetition, it's got that huge...
What about a composition tool?
You know, that's an interesting thing. Like for some things that I'm interested in, it's a great composition tool, right? Because it forces me to think in simple terms and then changes... You know, are more dramatic if you are making a few simple moves.
There ain't a lot of harmonic content, let's put it that way, but there is a lot. There could be advantages to that. Here, I brought it up, though, because Charlie Mingus was a pretty wild bass player, but he wouldn't compose on it. He composed on piano. In fact, his first song was a Mingus Fingers, and he composed on piano. But the thing about bass don't have a lot of harmonic content, but it does have rhythmic, and for sure, you know, starts and stops, and you can make parts. And if you are working as a collaboration with other people, it really lets things open for them. If you make a demo on a keyboard or guitar, for example, you're already implying so much harmonic information that the people that you're going to collaborate, you know, I'm not saying you're putting out the paint by numbers thing, but kind of more than with bass. For example, Nels Klein loves to get songs from me written on bass. Other people, they're like, fuck, why did you write on the goddamn cymbals or the kick drum, you know? Because they don't have enough information. You know what I'm saying, Bobby?
That's what I mean by, like, it forces you to be simple. And if your mind is running all over the place, I mean, you can be complex, right? But it's such a great tool for being like, what really matters? And you can reduce it. Yeah, and then you're communicating with other people. You're like, here's part of something, or here's a feel. Here's what it feels like to me. Like, take it from there. And that's the deal with Oneida, for sure, is like, no matter who's coming up with ideas or how we're putting stuff together, there's always an invitation to other people to ruin it, which, of course, makes it better.
Equal opportunity employer, Bobby. So let's talk about this new Oneida album and how it came about as far as it was incubated. Who brought forth the little swing team?
So I spent a long time. We've worked in a million different ways. We've made things through improvisation, through, like, homework assignments. This was me writing songs and recording for myself at home and then sifting through stuff, and I just presented a whole bunch of demo recordings to the band and was like, what do you think any of this sounds like Oneida stuff? And we picked some tunes and went for it together.
Can I ask you, Bobby, when you made these demos,
yeah,
how full were they? Was it just a keyboard part, or did you, like, MIDI up a whole fucking band, or?
A pretty wide range. No MIDI. Like,
No, but I've gotten demos from people where they put the fake bass guitar, the fake drums, the fake strings.
And I did some stuff, like, you know, I used GarageBand to, like, track a few different kinds of ideas and put my voice on, and some of them just started as, like, guitar on my phone, and then I would dump that track in and figure out the voice and send that. Others were, you know, yeah, maybe like a keyboard line, or most of it was guitar and organ is how it started. But then I was just trying to capture, like, vibe, knowing that once I turned it over to the band, we would, like, recast everything. So some of the tunes on the record on Success are, some of them sound, you know, they're pretty obviously related to those demos. Others kind of went on a little journey and we played, and, you know, like, you know, Kid Million's drumming is like, you know, I'm not going to, like, demo his drumming.
No, but, you know, some dudes, I've seen them, I've heard them make up little MIDI parts, you know, and they want everybody to have an idea what their vision is. Other people, yeah, I think it's more like with me. When I write, I'll write a whole song on the bass, verses, chorus, bridges, all that, but I never have an end game in my mind. It's all in my mind is like springboard, launch pad.
Yeah, that's where this stuff was coming from. But I'm, you know, I put, like, guitar parts and things on them, but not, like, for other people to copy and play. More just like, this is what's happening in my brain. But then the guitar me and Oneida goes at it and does their own thing.
Right.
You know, and if they want to cop a lick or a moment, they can, but there's no expectation that anybody would.
Right. So it's kind of a mixture. Well, you guys don't live in the same town.
No, we don't. I live in Boston. The rest of the guys live in New York.
Okay, so, but do they really get together? It seems like the band gets together when it's the music that brings you together. So somebody has to go first is what I'm trying to say, Bobby.
Yeah, and that was kind of like this project. I mean, you know, everybody dealt with the early days of the pandemic in their own way, but we had studio time booked, you know, for March 2020. And that didn't happen. So then it was like, all right, I'm going to be making music, you know? Like, so then we got back together. By the time we got back together, it was more than just a, like, hey, when can we get together? It was like, holy shit, we spent 11 months not playing together.
11
right?
months.
So, yeah.
And nobody, like, traded any files or anything. So the album was actually connecting music-wise via the internet.
Yeah, I mean, I shared the stuff that I was working on, but we weren't trying to, like, work on it collaboratively. We all kind of knew, you know, it's funny, we didn't talk that specifically about it, but we all knew that this was about getting together and playing, and, you know, yeah, we used these tunes as, like, a jumping off point, and that's where we went.
So, but you do have an old catalog that you go back to, or once it's in the past, it's in the past?
I mean, we try to always be working as who we are now, but yeah, like, we play old songs. I mean, we just did a series of shows up kind of in the Hudson Valley in New England, and we played the whole, you know, everything from the new record, and then probably, you know, we'd pull 5-6 old songs into the set each night.
I wish I would have been there with this is just recently, right?
Yeah, this was the start of August, and then, you know, fucking COVID happened, so we canceled the rest of the tour.
Okay, but you got some New England up
there. Yeah, we got the Northern run in.
You got the Northern leg in, yeah. Okay.
We're finding the dates. We're going to get back out there, but it's hard, as everybody knows.
Well, yeah, I just did a 48 gig and 48 day tour, and I'm ready to do another stuff. I'm going to help the Flipper guys out. But you know what? Right now, we got to bring Brother Matt aboard with his spin cycle.
Right on.
Battleship to Heaven. You don't put them on pizzas, but wear them between your teeth. And chew, chew, chew. Climbing clouds, exuberant, beatitude, melting and rising like the Red Sea or Jello. Across the Bronson Caves, past wolves and daffodils, and poster-tall images of Roger McGuinn, who, Rick in hand, vicious, spacey, muttering as he was when he was swinging like 65. I met Alice in my Wonderland. She looked a whole lot like Leslie Caron and Gigi. Sung me hatred and despair between sips of Dr. Brown's cream soda and Celray soda. What the fuck is Celray soda? It's all heaven to me. I salute. And noisy brain cells dying one by one by one by one. Will I end up a celery stick or a carrot in children's hospital? Or maybe subtly a human null, not exactly catching every word that floats between the gray matter. It matters not. Have I ever? What matters? The word is, the word is, the word is beatitude.
Wish I had some Elvis Presley records to listen to when I'm feeling late 50s. The mood is turquoise and pink, like being in a sparkling formica kitchen or a backyard bomb shelter. My brain feels freeform between prosperity and depression. Wanna watch I Love Lucy reruns, buy a pair of loafers, drive a push button shift.
After the Revolution, excerpts from An Endless Poem. After the Revolution, Everything Will Be Far Out, OK, USDA Grade A, Sweet Smelling, and Unreal. After the Revolution, Sparrows Will Sing All the Time, The Azaleas Will Always Be in Bloom, and We Will Leap from Star to Star. After the Revolution, I Will at Wish Be Able to Slip into Fancy Shoes and Dancing Laugh Away My Blues. After the Revolution, Every Day Will Be Christmas, and We'll All Dress in our finest Mao jackets to visit our celestial friends. After the Revolution, contradiction will not be regarded as such. Everything will be swinging between itself and its opposite, constantly transforming into its own negation and back again. After the Revolution, there'll be no after the Revolution, because the Revolution will be happening all the time. And since there'll be no need for memory and oppression, videotape will be recycled back into coal and buried deep in the clean earth. There will be no books after the Revolution. Everybody will already know everything, and in any case, they'll be too busy chanting the complete works of William Blake, which will come to them immediate through inspiration. Kit Smart will be our state poet after the Revolution. He will have returned from his stay in Beulah, where he will have been successful in educating Baraka out of the evil of his anti-Semitism. After the Revolution, Toni Morrison will read the news, and when she feels like it, she'll write it too. Jack Hirschman will do the weather. He knows which way the wind blows. After the Revolution, I'll finish my poem about Aretha. After the Revolution, the aged will once again, respected, rock gently on lawn swings in the summer evenings of their lives, and may your life be long will be a blessing, not a curse. After the Revolution, the rich will live no longer in fear of murder. They will all have been shot, their stocks and their bodies left for carrion. After the Revolution, the blanched skulls of realtors will mark the routes once taken by the demolished freeways, no pathway more than three people wide. After the Revolution, I will return to my lovers on distant planets. After the Revolution, there will be no irony.
The mountain. War rape. Dusty earth packed into form. Curving sensuality dominates plane. Thrust, oh, jagged edge. Then soften against sky beauty. Clay, so red, oh so. Brown, oh so. Speckled colors formulate rainbow glory. Water lines divide, cracks define. Furry bushes hold dirt together. Suck deep where water hides. Steeping stones climb, round and up. Majestic mountain peak and shoot through cloud domain. The eagle soars high above, keeping company with protruding earth. Expanded wings accentuate God-made stature. Glide, comrade. Landing, escape to narrow ledge, to nest, to companion. Chirp, echo, chirp, echoing. Rabbit hops, comfort bush shelters one. Sunlight spotlights, can ego see? Footprints brush lightly. Frantic search for food, frantic search. Then eyeing beak, seek body hair. Blooded one torpedoes down. Attack planned, exactness scary. Claws penetrate soft living meat. Trumpets screech, silence echoes discontent. Little one has fulfilled nature's ecosystem. Chirp, echo, chirp, echoing through, down, around, in, between, over, canyon entering, plateau happening, river beds, drained life graves, all holding memories of winds and yesterdays. War, fuck, war, fuck, war, fuck.
From the streets of New York town came black rhythm rap, funky sound. From the streets of L.A. town, fag rap is spreading around. You might say, what's this shit? Rapping white fags just don't fit. We're here to say that it's okay for anyone to rap black, white, or gay. I am Night of the Night. When evening comes, I spread delight. Tubs, streets, riding cars, Hollywood, backroom bars. Rock you high, rock you low. Make you feel like you never want to go. Make you moan, make you groan. Thrill your body down to the bone. Cool as ice, twice as nice. Give me the chance to put spice in your life. Rock and roll all over the place. And you feel that right in your face. Rock, rock, don't stop. Rock, rock.
Do what?
Rock, rock, don't stop. Rock, rock. Who's on top? Friend of mine's right over here. Some of you might call him queer.
Well, you've heard it from Blow and Sugar Hill. You've heard it from the Treacherous Three. But none can match the faggot rap of Night of the Night and me. And if you want to keep your face in just one place, you better not call me she. Now, my name is Master Bates, and I'm faggot through and through. I don't live in Boys Town or Silver Lake. But that don't mean I'm hetero. Well, I've had it with Levi's disco, lifting weights, alligator shirts, and going on dates. Size of this, size of that. No blacks, no freaks, no femmes, no fats. Lou, to me, is for cars. And I won't go near West Hollywood bars. I stay away from Griffith Park. I get them just old-fashioned. I do it in the dark. I never could remember for the life of me which park of my hanky and he should be. I guess I gave up too easily. I flunked out of my course in Clone Free B. Now I know I'm talking blasphemy. Knocking gay culture with a capital C. But it never was my sort of scene, you see. I don't want to be a faggot professionally.
Now the master and I are friends, you see. But sometimes we just don't agree. And all that shit he's putting down, he's just a trendy, living downtown. Music's not disco, it's punk. He's just as horny, ain't no monk. Leather jacketed, looking for a lay. Bouncing at the beat of the one way.
Well, that's the pot calling the kettle black. At least I do it in the sack. You need three men to have your fun. Don't you see you're afraid of just one?
Well, what you say now, some of it is true. I thought all about it, so tell me something new. Way I see it, one's as good as the other. Keep your moralistic bullshit, brother.
Most of you are white middle class. Now we're gonna preach to your ass.
If queer bashing is our face, how about the queer bashing straight?
Oh no, you'd say it shouldn't be done, because when straights bash heads, they're just having fun. But if you're wondering the point of this rap, the message is easy, you don't need no math.
If some straight mother hassles you, there's only one thing left to do.
You fight back. When your mind's on the rack and they're breaking your back, you fight back. Don't take that shit, just give them a kick. You fight back. When your mind's on the rack and they're breaking your back, you fight back. Don't take that shit, just give them a kick. You fight back.
Evangelical hootenanny, alligator fortune teller,
She performed some magic tricks for his enjoyment, but still he refused to appear. She bought a ticket to a ball game and a ticket to a nightclub and saw double. Finally, she could stand it no longer. Finally couldn't. She jumped out in front of his Ford and yelled, "Turn this boat around." Now comes he. May recites this lovely poem. "I am interested in your presence, present in your absence, disturbed by your disturbance, and turbulent in your wake. I walk with a disturbed walk, but don't disturb my dance, and let's dance."
I fucked it up. Study, 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 learn a trade. Work well, work well, work well, work well, earn your pay. I don't want to be a part of society. I don't want to spend all their money. I can't make it sense out of it anyway. I don't know if there's a better way. Who should I see? What should I do? Where should I go? Who should I know? Stand the unemployment line, wasting all my time. Met a real American who handed me a lie.
Laughing Sam's dice rolled 36 times. I'm running to fill the holes in my mind. Darkness is searching where nothing can hide. Devils and wings, black wet sort of life. Or colors that turn and spin and reach out. Like lead, let it fall into these depths, watching what happens where I've never been. It's evil, it's real, it's sweet, and it's bright. Somewhere in never, I look for the end. The sideways eight laughs at me from the side, and then it grows bigger and turns into eyes. What do I see in the plastic shit stretched across bone, in the bulging, burning things I know are called eyes? A crack tears across. I watch it shatter. Where did it start? Just what is it I am? Then a string pulls the lip, eyes set. The point desires the end.
Cheek to cheek and nose to nose, you'll see them every day. They're in love, they say. At least appear that way. I'm moving in together. They don't see the neighbor's faces. They don't see them turn away. They don't hear it when they say, falling out. Soon they will be falling out of their romance. Falling out, falling out, falling out. Lovers all across the land at movie houses see on the silver screen the ideal image of their mates to be. And so in bars across the land, from mate to mate they'll hop. For that image they will shop, and they'll look until they drop. Falling out of their romance, falling out for a dream, falling out, falling out, falling out. Hollywood will tell you that perfection is a goal. Hollywood implies it's easy if you're in the know. And suckers all across the land believe it every time. Dump the ones who love them for a new improved design. Falling out of the real world, falling out of their minds. Falling out, falling out, falling out. Falling out, out of airplanes. Falling out, burning out, falling out.
If old Jimbo Morrison, the composer, had not succumbed to such an intense American pop music career, he would have been eventually known as an impressive filmmaker, I think. I remember when Morrison took some troops to Tucson at the end of the 60s to shoot exterior footage for his hitchhiker movie, Highway. And this poem is a kind of aerial shot of images inside that film. It's called Highway Retrospect. The Lizard King comes into these abstract insect islands in order to advance new armies with handheld camera. His partners are a street singer and a hired gun. Deals of death about the hands of a desert as it becomes plain painted by the afternoon, with seven leading ladies. And you wonder if those critics with cunning cinema incorporations will want to pretend their own hands around the throats of seven strangled girls.
Bad night at the taco house. He came in to rob the place. The waitresses were flush, fear, and tears. The guy sat around yammering. What he was doing caused some kind of disruption. He beckoned. I went over to his corner. I put the gun to my head, said, "Empty the register." The kiss, deep, hard, cold against my temple. There was a click sound. All of a sudden, I'm dead, I thought. If I hesitate, this sound might off me. And so I said, "Shoot, motherfucker, or quit wasting my time." There was surprised silence. Then everyone broke into strained laughter. "It's a joke," he said. "You didn't cry like the other girls." And there were slaps on the back and cracks about my ice cool. And from that day, body kept their distance.
Brother Matt.
Little taste of L.A. in the 80s.
Right. Tell us what made you do what you had to do. It's continuation of the Harvey Kubernick provides.
Let's see, Oneida, no idea I have on how that one got going there. The lack of technical
No
options.
Idea, not one idea.
So, yeah, that was side three of English as a Second Language.
Right.
There had a little D. Boone in there.
That's right.
So that was sweet.
Yeah.
And
Joe Nolte, Chuck Dukowski,
yeah,
Rhonda Coleman,
yeah. So
other people will remain unnamed. Thank you so much for bringing that.
Pleasure.
Absolutely. August 24, 2022. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Well, for Pedro Show, we start off the third hour up with people from Oneida, Noisuka, with their seven. Ought, spliced like Tetris fingers. Oneida, Ghost in the Room. Ghost in the Room was probably a guitar. You know, when they told me, when Kid Million, said, yeah, Bobby wrote all the material, and I was thinking the keyboard thing, but I was, this song, Ghost in the Room.
Well, that's an older one.
Oh, is that why?
Okay. Yeah, that's an older one. That's a group composition. So that's an example of a tune that comes from us just playing. Just play, and then you find a kind of a groove and you sink into it, and then you come back to it and maybe it changes a little bit, and then something else gets written and somebody has an idea, and then it just kind of happens. And that's one we're still playing. I mean, we played that one in August on tour, but it's probably a 12-13-year-old song at this point.
What about Up With People?
Up With People actually started as one that Kid and I wrote together as a duo. We used to play, we do still sometimes play as a duo called People of the North. And we wrote that one together, trying to rip off.
You gave me that Tunnels.
Yeah, there you go. That's right, Tunnels.
And what was that? Was that an album?
Tunnels is off an album, yeah, off the first People of the North album.
People of the North is just you and Kid Million.
Yeah, although on that track, Shaheen from Oneida plays the guitars on that track.
Okay, yeah.
So it's just like another project, you know, that we can get together and do and work on stuff. And, so Up With People came out of that, and then we adapted it over to an Oneida song. Still play that one.
Speaking about 10, 12 years ago, that's when I got to jam with you guys, right?
Yeah. I bet that was almost exactly 10 years ago. ATP, All Tomorrow's Parties in Minehead, right, in the UK?
Right. It was kind of Somerset, right, in the west there. And I had just hurt my knee, so I was on crutches.
That was amazing, yeah. So everyone listening to this needs to know, right? So this is, we were doing these sets of like 10, 12 hours of improv and then people attending music.
We're talking about one tune, people going for 10, 12 hours, okay?
Yeah. So then the musicians at the festival would come join us. So Watt is gracious enough to grace our stage with his presence and comes out on this crutch. Someone hands him a bass and he throws the crutch and starts.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
This is too much.
I'm not that gentle. Yeah, and I did. I borrowed. So I think they had a P bass there for me or somebody's.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't my bass.
We had two SVTs hooked up, but one of them had already blown up. So
right, I turned the other one all the way up, I remember.
Yep.
I knew you guys had been at it for a while, so I thought, man, I better give them something to revive the spirit. So I just did hard charger moves.
It worked, yeah. It was like a revival. Yeah, you just threw a little revival theater into it.
Right.
It looked like you were feeling it, too. A memorable moment. That
I didn't think it was the right moment to put up the holding pattern. I just felt it. And plus, man, getting hurt like that. Thank God I got my hands, though. When you lose something like your knees or shit, you're a little more grateful. Here, I want to play Low Tide.
Oh, yeah.
gonna miss me when I'm gone. Gonna miss the way we got along. Me and myself do right and wrong. I'm gonna miss me when I'm gone. I'm gonna miss me when I die. When I'm called up to the by and by. I'll miss the flowers and the trees. But most of all, I'm gonna miss me. I'm the best friend I ever had. I know to you that might seem sad. But over here it ain't no joke. I'm gonna miss me when I croak. When everything is said and done, I'll miss the world and all its fun. I'll miss the things I used to do. And I might even miss you too. Okay! Joke. I'm gonna miss me when I croak. I'm gonna miss me when I go. Gonna miss the sunshine, rain, and snow. And I'll miss me singing this song about missing me when I'm gone. I'm gonna miss me when I'm gone. Everybody,
gonna miss the way we got along.
Me and myself.
Me and myself do right and wrong.
Gonna miss me.
I'm gonna miss me when I'm gone.
I'm gonna miss me when I'm gone. I'm gonna miss me when I'm gone.
You've got to look into the light.
Bye.
Watch for Pedro Scholast music for this edition. Oneida with Low Tide. Ben Vaughn, Miss Me When I'm Gone. Poet, don't you know it? Oneida, Sheets of Easter. Yeah, there's some long jams. Yeah, yeah. And so the plan is to pick up where the tour got postponed a little bit. Where can people find you guys on the internet?
Oh, geez. I mean,
Is there an Oneida website?
Well, yeah, I don't know if we have our own website anymore. Do bands still have websites? We're on Bandcamp.
You should, because having your own website is like having your own fanzine. Now, you could staple up flyers on those corporate telephone poles. Shitter, instant ham, fake look, all that stuff. The one I like, I think, is the best for the people making music is the Bandcamp people. I think they're the coolest of all the corporate things.
Yeah, they did just get picked up, I know.
I know. They bought you have the Topo Chico. I think Coca-Cola, 100 years in Monterrey, independent. And now they're, hopefully they give them autonomy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. We're lucky enough, we work with a pretty cool record company right now called Joyful Noise.
And oh, absolutely, out of Indiana.
Yeah, and the guys running that have been very communicative about kind of getting the straight dope on Bandcamp, because that's the platform they've recommended to bands to stay as independent as possible, but still connect. And they've been great about saying, like, look, we're going to stay on this and figure out what this means. And that's helpful, because the media landscape is dizzying, and it's hard to sort through who's up to what,
Absolutely. In the meantime, gigs. And, luckily that's coming back and stuff. And if everybody's not too stupid, we can get control on this, public health and stuff like that. The idea of selling music on a medium is only about 100 years old. It's always been about playing for people. And in some ways, I know in Minuteman days, we looked at records as flyers to get people to the gigs. I know before that it was, you do gigs to support records, but that was for such a short time if you look at the big picture. But because it was at a significant time around television and radio, we think that's the way the world's always been. It's mainly been about playing for people. But, who wants to be ripped off by motherfuckers?
No one wants for
it. And, when you get a record done, Bobby, did you immediately start thinking about the next one?
Well, we're usually thinking about the next one or a couple of them at the same time. So, for sure. I'm not really comfortable unless there's a few things moving forward at the same time as far as making the music goes. So, that's where my engine revs our band, and Kid really, he revs so well at shows and putting stuff together. Like, he just put together this beautiful outdoor show coming up in September in Queens in Forest Park, and it's like hustling to get a giant outdoor band shell and PA, and I'm in awe of the way that guy, the like hustle to get a show together is different from the hustle to get a record together. We're lucky. I think the two of us we partner pretty well on that.
Yeah, ensemble. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like a team, gang.
A lot of colors to make up a rainbow. There's the fore, there's the aft, there's port, there's starboard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
there's the keel, and then there's the fucking crow's nest. And it really, it's not about hierarchy. It's just, some cats or maybe they gravitate, like you said, just some things. But we all need each other to make an ensemble.
Yeah.
I love that idea. And the situation kind of dictated the way this baby came out. So the next, album, you don't see yourself as being the chief fire starter?
No. I mean, I'll always be kind of the whip hand, hey guys, let's get together and do this. But so we did a session of a 2-day recording session of strictly improv, right? To use as that's going to be a touchstone for some stuff that we put together, right? Like together, like as a group. And then, you know, we talked about some other approaches. Yeah, we're always into like find an approach and then chase it down.
So you don't, right? You don't see this band ever ending.
I hope not. I mean, well, it's going to, let's be real, but I don't expect us to disband the band unless we can't stand
each other. You hear people, they'll say stuff like, this is all this band has to say. And the way it seems that you got the band structured, it can evolve into whatever.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we're lucky enough, like, we've got a quarter century under our belts, right? So we've come out the other side of enough stuff that it's like, okay, we've figured out, you know, how to sustain something, and that's always going to change. But now we know that we can kind of keep rolling, right? It's like we've been through a lot of darkness. Right. So what can we handle, you know?
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. It's inspiring, truly. And people like you make people like Watt want to even try harder. I can't thank you enough, Bobby.
Sweet. Thank you, man. Okay. Well, likewise, like you're sitting here busting your ass on this show and playing, yeah, right. Let's just say it's mutual.
Okay. And when we get the new music, please come back on, please.
Yeah, okay. Would love it. Thank you so much for having
me. Matt, thank you so much for your essential aid and event. And people, it's been August 24, 2022 edition. What Peter should keep you powered, right?